The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. He said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard, and when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Big challenge in our gospel today, and I think we have to situate it within its historical context in order to understand what it is Jesus is saying. Not what he's trying to say, but what he's saying. He's dealing with Jerusalem. Yeah, and if we hear in this 3 years of tending the fig tree an echo of the 3 years of Jesus' ministry in and around this particular region, then we can understand even, I think, a bit of the urgency that Jesus has in calling people to repentance, in calling people to a conversion of mind and heart that has them return to God's way and leave their own errant ways behind. And here, you know, when the people bring to him word of the Galileans who had been killed by Pilate, and we understand, of course, historically speaking, this is well within the realm of possibility that this did happen. This is the kind of person that Pilate was. Here we see the kind of twofold warning, or say like a twofold question that Jesus has to answer. There's one is that Jesus has set his sight on Jerusalem, and they're giving him warning. Then these people are giving him warning about what is awaiting him. And the question then is, will he continue toward Jerusalem, or will he turn around? And of course, he knows that this is his vocation. This is where his mission is ultimately accomplished, not simply in making it to Jerusalem, but in undergoing his passion and death to ultimately defeat death. So the first question is, will he continue on in spite of danger? And in fact, yes, he will. He has to go into the heart of this particular animal, right? He has to go right into the belly of the beast. The second part is whether or not the Galileans incurred this because of their own, say, lack of repentance. If Jesus is calling people to repentance, then these people are coming up and saying, "Well, you know, what about these people? Did this tragedy beset them because they did not repent?" And then, of course, the rest of the passage is to say, no, not just them, which is kind of, it's tough, and like I said, it's challenging, because it's not simply them. It's not this group of people who has not repented and incurred the wrath of God or punishment, or the natural consequences of their own actions and the rest. But that still, everyone is being summoned to repentance, and what beset them could likewise beset all other people. So in here then we have the great parable, and I think these kind of agrarian images are really wonderful for us, because the idea is not simply that people are doing, say, all these negative things, yes, bringing about destruction, yes, and the like, but that they were made to flourish. So the people were made to flourish. They were made to bear fruit. Israel, Jerusalem, was made to bear fruit. We, likewise, are made to bear fruit. So we're made to flourish. it's not good enough yet to avoid the negative. It's not good enough to say, you know, I come before God and I'm without sin. But what about the flourishing of our lives? What about the fruit of the Spirit? Can it be that we're without sin and yet we're not bearing fruit? We're not loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, and generous people? Is it possible? So it's kind of a bit of a reframe for us, perhaps, but we're called through, again, the mission and ministry of Jesus, most especially his passion, death, and resurrection, to bear fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, right, why is that? Any number of reasons. One, perhaps we haven't joined Jesus in his death. We haven't joined Jesus in his death. So how do we die to ourselves and self-concern? How do we die to the various and competing gods that surround us? How do we die to the pursuit of false, really, and vain pursuits and, say, false security in order to live only for God? And living only for God, which we can do only in Jesus and his risen life, we're then made to bear fruit. Fruit that will last, fruit that will remain, fruit that that we can witness even here and now, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is still tilling our hearts and lives. You can go back and read the parable. Can read it either, say, the owner, there was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. Yeah? Is Jesus the owner of the land and the fig tree? Or is Jesus the one who's, say, the gardener tilling the soil? You can read it in both ways, actually, and come to some really wonderful conclusions, no matter which way you read it. But the reality of it, either way, is that Jesus wants us to bear fruit. And the fruit is fruit of repentance. Think about it. Even the fig tree, yeah, it bears fruit by its nature. Bears fruit by its nature, but it's not. But it bears fruit in not resisting its own nature. So we simply have to live into the life that God wants for us, the way that he's made us. And he's made us in his image and likeness. So we live in communion with him, and in his image and likeness, the one who gives himself away, God is he who gives himself away. We give ourselves away in service of God and for the good of those around us. That's where we'll find true flourishing in our lives as well.